So I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for your word. I ask that you speak to our hearts. We praise your name. So the last 3 days have been very beautiful days for me. On Friday, I had the great privilege as a priest of celebrating the Requiem Mass of my dear mother and of presiding over her burial. That was a very special moment for me. My younger brother, who doesn't have much perception, I don't think, spiritually into the church affairs, but he said to me at the end, he said, you know, that was a high point of your priesthood, wasn't it? And I said, wow, that's really perceptive. Because in some ways that's true. It was a great privilege. But then also in the last 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, we've been at the Young Men of God conference down at the Tops Conference Centre. And we had 130 young men there. And again, it was a very beautiful moment to have 130 young men giving their lives over to Jesus and entering into the Sacrament of Reconciliation with so much vulnerability and so much honesty and so much of a faith in the mercy and the goodness of God. So it's been a beautiful time. And maybe those two events shape something of what I will say tonight. Because the first reading gives us from Isaiah something of the vision of what we are to expect in the future. That this earthly pilgrimage is going somewhere. And it's going towards the heavenly banquet that we all hunger for and long for within ourselves, even though so often we don't even realize it. But we're promised that on this mountaintop there will be a banquet of the Lord. And there will be really good food, rich food, and fine wines. It's the biblical way of saying it's going to be gracious and good and gifted and wonderful, and it's going to be everything that you longed for in the deepest part of your heart. It's going to be full of the love of God, the life of the Trinity forever, my friends. What a joy that will be. How wonderful it will be to be taken up into God, to be with him forever, whenever your moment comes. And we're told, when this happens, there will be no more death. Death is overcome. They're all mourning and sadness is lifted from us, and all shame is taken away. There is simply God and all his goodness and his love and all his beauty and his wonder, and caught up in the wonder of God forever. This is where we're headed on this pilgrim journey, which is really so short. Is it not? It's only a very short time, a fleeting time here on earth that we have before our destiny is fulfilled, when we go to God forever to be with him in all his graciousness and goodness and all of his mercy, wrapped up in the wonder of God for eternity. All the longings of the human heart are directed this way. But so often, of course, on our earthly journey, we get distracted and we think that our desires and our longings will be fulfilled in other ways. And so we fall on the creatures of this earth as if they're going to provide us with the ultimate satisfaction. That really my heart will not find the ultimate satisfaction there, but we'll find in God. And so we pray with the psalmist, maybe, that I may know the shortness of my life so that I may have wisdom of heart. You know, in that beautiful reading from Isaiah, It says, we will rejoice and we will exult because we will know our Savior. And the beginning of this is now. Even now, on this earthly pilgrimage, we're beginning to taste something of heaven. That's to the degree that we know God within us, we're already tasting of something of heaven. To the degree that we know the joy of the Savior, we're already experiencing an anticipation of what is to come. And the Lord quickens our hearts so that we're eager and yearning for more of Him. Because heaven is simply God in all His fullness, who promises fullness of life even now. Jesus says, you know, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. Even now, we can experience an anticipation of what is yet to come. You know, Paul says, eye has not seen or ear heard or heart of man conceived what God has for those who are love Him, those who yearn for Him. He has so much more for us. And our earthly journey is meant to be going in that direction, more and more and more of God. So that when we come to the moment when our earthly journey winds up and this body of ours, you know, caves in, you know, our soul goes to God to be with Him forever. You know, in 1 John it says it very beautifully, think of the love that the Father has lavished on us by calling us God's children, for that's what we are. And what we are to be in the future has not yet been revealed, but we know that when it is, we shall see Him as He really is. And everyone who entertains that hope should try to be pure in their heart, pure as Christ. So on this earthly journey, we're seeking a deeper purification in preparation for falling into the hands of a living God at the moment of death, being given over fully to God forever. This is our time of preparation and purification. Everyone who entertains that hope of seeing God as He really is, now where no longer we live by faith but by sight, forever with God, whoever entertains that hope, then should really undertake a purification now. And that's what we're going through in this earthly journey. We're seeking a deeper purification of heart. I oftentimes pray, Lord, purify my heart. Now do a new work in me. Change me, Lord, because I'm still weighed down by disordered passions. I'm still weighed down by desires for creaturely things as if they're going to provide my ultimate satisfaction. But only You provide my satisfaction, Lord. You are my hope and You're my joy. And so, Lord, I trust in You and surrender my heart more deeply to You. So there's some of the reflections that I've been having, and it sort of connects as well with the Young Men of God conference, because the theme was to dare to lead. But what became so clear as we went through the whole time, just about every speaker and every reflection, was about getting the center off yourself and getting yourself centered upon others. But that's what it really means to lead. An other-centeredness, a givenness for the sake of others. To allow the love of God to so enter into you that you're given for the sake of others. Not living your life in a consumer society just to get this and to get that and get that and have this and have this and then I'll try and find my happiness. That's the consumer mentality. And it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't ultimately complete us as human beings. In fact, it shrinks us when we live a self-centered sort of life. And so we're saying to the young men, don't make it all about yourself, but rather allow God's grace within you to be given for the sake of others, to be given for your wife, or to be given for a good cause that you're called to live for. Live not for yourself, but live for others. Allow yourself to become that sort of person. Now, and then you'll be truly great, the greatness that God has for you. And so this earthly journey that we have, it is short. But you are intended for greatness, each one of you. But at the end of your life, how will it be measured? How will your greatness be measured? By the amount of money you've amassed? Well, not really. You know, by the political power that you got hold of? No, not really. In an earthly way, in a worldly way, sometimes we celebrate that. You know, we like to be celebrities, don't we? And we like to look up to celebrities and have fame and fortune. But ultimately, that's not the way God measures it. And He's the ultimate measure of your life. The way He measures it is by how you have loved. How you have gone beyond your selfish instincts and given yourself for the sake of others. And I was so grateful at my mother's funeral to be able to say, that's what she was like. And so I felt, you know, consoled that surely, you know, her life could be measured very beautifully by God, under God's wisdom, as a life well lived, because it was lived for others, not for herself. And we're all to be that way, huh? To live for others, not for ourselves. And that's how we become truly alive, even now as human beings, but even more so, we're taken up into God forever. And that's our worthwhile life. So that's the sort of message we were saying. And you know the apostles at one time, they were arguing about who's the greatest. Remember that? They'd been walking behind Jesus and they were arguing, and Jesus knew what they were talking about. And so he turned around. When they got to the house, he sort of said, what were you arguing about along the way? And they didn't like to say anything because they'd been arguing about which one of them was the greatest. Now, Jesus wants us all to be great, but they had the wrong concept of greatness. And so he said to them, anyone who wants to be great in the kingdom of God must be least of all and servant of all, because the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for the many. So this other-centeredness is what we're called the young men to. And what today we can call ourselves to, because you see, that's the way to move towards heaven. What is heaven? It's love. It's love. It's the Father loving the Son from all eternity, the Son loving the Father, and it's the Holy Spirit being generated by this love. And this Holy Spirit is given to us so that we now begin to live like that. We're loving one another, not just for my own grabbing concern and my own selfish instinct, and just to feather my own nest, as it were. And so as a community, of course, as the church, this is the message too, that we need not to be sort of looking in upon ourselves in a self-enclosed way, but by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God, He pushes us out. And if the church ever needed to push out, it's right now. That we need that grace from God, which He gives abundantly to us if we'll take hold of it, not to be just sort of looking in upon ourselves as a church, not to be looking in upon ourselves here at St. Benedict's and coming for our own little sort of praise time that's going to sort of fill me up. But what about all those other people out there that don't even know Jesus? They haven't had any contact with Him. And are hungry for something, and they don't even know what they're hungry for. And we have the food. It's not saying we're better, we're just sort of one beggar going to share the food with another beggar. But we should need to find those beggars to share the food with them. Huh? Because we know where the food is. We come to this banquet every Sunday night. And we eat of the food of life. The good banquet, which is an anticipation of the heavenly banquet. We know where we're going. All those people out there, so many of them don't know where they're going. They don't have any meaning or purpose in their life. They have no sort of understanding of things. We are meant to be the instruments, in the weak, broken instruments, mind you. The wounded healers, if you like, who will in some way reach out. And that's what the gospel's about, of course, isn't it? So the king always got a wedding for his son. And so he sends out his servants. That's us. And what's the message? The message is very simple. Come to the wedding feast. Come to the banquet. It's all been laid out, you know, the fatted calf has been slaughtered. Everything's ready for this celebration. Come to the banquet. Come to the goodness of God. Come to the fullness of God's life that's available in and through the church. Come and discover what God has for you. Come. And then some people reject. They say, I'm too busy. I've got to go about my business, you know, and I've just sort of got married and I've got things to do. Well, just don't worry about the rejection. Find those who will come. Go to anyone, he says, who will come and bring them. So go to the crossroads, go to the alleyways, go anywhere and bring them in. That's our commission, huh? We who have discovered the beauty of God, we who know the tender, merciful love of Jesus Christ, we are the ones not to sit around in our church buildings waiting for people to come to us, as Pope Francis says, but no, go out onto the streets, go wherever we will find the people who will come. And there are people out there hungry, and they don't know where to find the food. And we're the ones who are probably a little bit over fat in a way, spiritually. And we need to get leaner by getting out there and giving what we have to others and bring them to the feast as well. So that's the invitation today in the gospel, isn't it? And notice there's the determination in the heart of the king, which is really the determination in the heart of God. He will have his house full. And so he'll bring in whoever will come. And some of the more likely candidates may reject the invitation, but others will receive it and take hold of it and respond generously. So my friends, they're my little reflections flowing from my mother's death and the Young Men of God conference. We sent the young men out to do just that, to go forward now with a new vigor in their spirit because they've received Christ in a deeper way through the sacrament of reconciliation, for being prayed over for the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need, don't we, often to be revitalized inside ourselves, to be empowered again for the work that God has for us, not to be centered upon ourselves. You see, we can become spiritual consumers. I don't know whether you've thought about that. No, 7 p.m. Mass goers could be spiritual consumers, where we come to eat ourselves spiritually full, right, every Sunday. But that's it. It goes nowhere. But we're not meant to be just consumers of the spiritual gifts. We're meant to use them well for the sake of others. And other-centeredness is necessary so that more and more people will come to know the love of God and be drawn into the mystery of his great love and be brought here. Let's fill this place. Let's have the determination of the Lord that this house will be full. To overflowing, we have to get Father Steve to build a bigger building. Praise the Lord. That's what we need, huh? To have that sort of enthusiasm within us. So let's, tonight then, as we come into this Eucharist, be aware that this is the anticipation of the heavenly banquet, that we're all going somewhere. Some are going to get there quicker than others. I don't know who will be first. It's hard to predict, isn't it? Could be me. Who knows? But one of us is going to be first there. And I trust that we'll all go there, huh? We must trust that, huh? We must believe that. And eating of the Eucharist, we're saying that. That we believe that the Christ who died for us and is now risen from the dead is our Saviour. And we trust in him and receive him to ourselves as the foretaste of the eternal banquet. And we are eager and longing for the greater thing that he has for us. He always has more in this earthly journey. And then the ultimate more, of course, is heaven itself. So let's be hungry for God, eager for all that he has to offer, and ready and available to be used by him for the sake of the kingdom. Ready and available to be sent out beyond your comfort zone. You know, John Paul II once cried out to the young people at World Youth Day. He said, the world will tell you and want you to be comfortable. He said, but you're not made for comfort. You're made for greatness. And that's the true reach of it. You're made for greatness, and your greatness will be established by the degree to which you love, by the degree to which you share what's been given to you with others, with a generous heart and a ready commitment to lay down yourself for the sake of those who are most in need, most hungry, most needy for all that God has. Bless his holy name. Amen.